There are some people in Barbados who feel that whatever is negative that men in this country experience today, they deserve. They say for far too long, men have dominated this society, and the time has come for the tables to be turned. A more moderate view suggests that if either gender is left behind or discriminated against, then Barbados is the loser. That we have too few hands to do the work that is required, and that fighting among ourselves will create problems rather than solve. Men in BIM, where are we going? Well, that's our subject today on Brass Tack Sunday, coming to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
Williams Metals, choose us for your building needs at Williams Metals. We got what you need. We are the leaders in building materials. We offer lumber, cement, concrete, copper, aluminium, and all type of metals. For construction, get galvanized sheets, welding and plumbing products for sure. You can find that and so much more.
Welcome to Brass Tack Sunday, and our panel today includes Fabian Sargent.
I just heard you, so that's a good sign.
Fine.
Okay, great.
We also have Dr. Ian Marshall. We have Corey Lane, Kenneth Straker, Tony Olton. Well, let's first of all look at the issues.
Testing 1, 2.
The issues that are confronting men out there in this society. And I'll come to Fabian Sargent first of all. You represent what is called the Men's Empowerment Network Support, which is called Men's for short.
Okay. I'm not hearing anything.
And therefore, I need to hear from you, Fabian Sargent, your assessment, if you can hear me well, what is your assessment of where we are at the moment in this regard? I just wanted to get an assessment, first of all, from you, Mr. Sargent. What is the state of play as it relates to men in Barbados as far as your organization is concerned? You are the Men's Empowerment Network Support. We had a previous organization or another organization which was formed before that called MISA. Perhaps you could also give us a sense of what's the difference between the two.
Well, my organization was formed from my end to really approach the emotional position of men in Barbados particularly. I thought that most of the challenges that men face were rooted in the fact that we have challenges with really identifying and dealing with our emotions. And that is at nearly every level. So the organization was started, and most of our programming, most of our projects, what we do is geared around the emotional empowerment of men. And that is where my very good friend Tony Olton plays a great part in relation to coming in with that emotional intelligence training. In relation to the difference between us and MISA, and let me say that I don't think there's a case that MISA is absent. I think that you're not hearing from them, but I spoke to the president up to like 2 weeks ago, and he let me know that they were still doing some stuff. I think their challenge is with the technology, but they are still very much around and active. And I would honestly like to see the emergence of MISA in a major way, because the men across Barbados need all the help they can get. There's no competition between men's and MISA. Or any other men organization. We have over 150,000 men, and all the help we can get, we definitely will embrace. So I don't think there's any real... I think MISA, they dealt a lot with paternity issues in the past, but for us, our real focus is on emotional empowerment of men.
Where are you seeing this emotional weakness?
Well, I'm seeing it particularly in a major way when... within relationships, whether it be a breakdown of relationships, challenges with relationships, and these are intimate relationships. And that behavior sometimes transcends pretty much into their other social, if it be work, whether it be whatever social activities or social space that men are in. Not being, you're seeing it with any violence, not being able to deal with anger. You know, you can express anger, but you don't have to be aggressive. So I'm seeing it in nearly every area that we have men within the social space. And as I said, what comes to the organization is more of the relationship issues and the custody issues that men are facing.
Your background is sociology, as I understand it.
I'm a social worker.
Yes,
background is social work.
Okay.
Yes.
What prompted you to get into this in the first place, though?
Well, it is a very personal thing to me. 4 years ago, my family had the unfortunate fate of losing my sister. We both share the same mother, same father. And she lost her life at the hands of her husband in a very unfortunate situation, you know. And he then turned around and he committed suicide. So it was a murder-suicide 4 years ago. Well, that was extremely troublesome to me, my family, and the fact that they left children behind as well. Fast forwarding, last year, August, when the incident that occurred in Warrens, the fire between a father and his children.
The school teacher.
I started to receive a lot of phone calls. Yes. I can't remember. I think it was a school teacher. But right there, Warrens, the fire with the children. I started to receive a lot of phone calls from men in tears who identified with what was perceived or what appeared to be his situation. And I was saying, you know, we cannot have people losing their lives at the hands of men who are unable to deal with their emotional disposition. So I just got up because it really hit me. It really hit me hard. It really, really hit me thinking about my sister Kimberly and the fact that her husband probably had no avenue to feel as if he can get away or even deal with what he had going on inside. So I thought it necessary with the skill set that I had and being one of the directors of the Barbados Family Planning Association, I reached out to the executive director and he said, well, you know, we can use the conference room along with some other support from persons. And I contacted my graphic artist. I put an ad out in the public and I said, well, look, first meeting is going to be the 24th of August, 2019. And I just, you know, we just send it out there and wait for persons to show up. And I will tell you on that very first day, the room was packed. I mean, we couldn't wait for enough chairs for the men that came out. And that showed me up front that there was a need and men wanted a space like that. Now, from that time until now, where we had a break for COVID, but consistently every 2 weeks, we have something called Men's Talk. And we have at least 20 to 25 men consistently without fail. And we had one last night, and the guys that attended can tell you how robust the discussion was. And these men embrace a space where they can come and not just talk foolishness, but express themselves in a way that they cannot do it in the household. They will not do it in a rum shop or even on the block with their friends. They come in a real structured environment where men can be men, and you can men cry, men express all the emotions there because it's a safe space. You know, and we have professionals on board. I've never missed one. I've always been there for every single one. And we have other persons on board, you know. And I really, really would like to give a good shout out to my entire team, the executive. And without them, the organization would not be where it is today. You have a very, very strong support, a full executive of 12 strong men. We've just came out to retreat last weekend, fine-tuning the way forward for the organization. And, you know, we're looking to do great things in Barbados come 2021.
Tony Olton, you work with this group as well. So give us a sense of what you saw when you first started to work with it and how has that changed over time?
Fabian, my work last year, starting last year with men's, really has to do with the awareness that I've obviously developed over time that we have misplaced our focus, our emphasis on men's issues. We've limited the conversation almost to matters pertaining to the law, to the courts, to child maintenance, access to children, alimony, division of property, etc. But they are very real issues that men face purely as men. And those issues then get transported out into their relationships with their women, their partners, their wives, and invariably it affects their children. And what we're going to see, unless there's a major disruption, a major interruption in the pattern, that we are going to be having this conversation a generation from now, unless we really get to the core and the crux of the issue. And so I've been pleased to work with and support Fabian this last year and some in helping the men who turn up at Mains to understand what is really the issue. That what we see in the courts and all the issues that go on there are really symptoms of deeper issues with our men. And to the extent that we're having issues with our men, we're going to have issues with men and women and men and their children.
What has struck you most in this work?
The awareness that we have spent millions of dollars over time as a nation. We've invested millions of dollars in education, helping people to understand the world outside of themselves. So we honor the academics, we honor the fellows who do the geography and the physics and the accounting and the medicine and all that fancy stuff. What our academic system does is that it allows us to understand some aspect of the world outside of ourselves, understand and navigate the world outside of ourselves. The missing link, the missing ingredient, is that very little is understood and very little is taught about helping us understand the world that is inside of ourselves. And I'm happy that Fabian linked the conversation to the question of men and their emotions. Because at the end of the day, it is our emotions that drive us. We don't behave based upon what we know. We behave based upon what we feel. But nobody has taught us about emotions, what emotions are. Nobody has taught us how to recognize them, use them, understand them, or manage them. And until we do that, we're going to keep repeating the experiences that we're having, men as themselves, men with their women, their females, and men with their children. And it is going to have that continuing wider impact across the wider society. Like Fabian, I established EQ Barbados back in April last year because of this increasing incidence of murder. And for me, that was just the extreme of our mild behavior. And something told me that there had to be tremendous levels of dysfunction on the inside of that spectrum. And that's what Fabian is about in terms of helping men. That's what we're about in terms of EQ Barbados.
What specifically have you been doing in your organization, EQ Barbados?
We have facilitated any number of training sessions, discussions, webinars, coaching, helping people to be better self-aware, self-managed, self-motivated, socially aware, and be able to function more effectively in their relationships. I can't have a meaningful relationship with you, regardless of who you are, if I don't have a meaningful relationship with myself. There are too many of us as men who have been or who are walking around with high levels of anger, a sense of inadequacy, a sense of abandonment, a sense of unresourcefulness. And if we never treat those issues, we're going to grow up, we're going to get married, we're going to get attached to some female who too is having the same issues of lack of self-worth, feelings of inadequacy, unresourcefulness, etc. And you and I are supposed to get together and form this family unit. And one of the things we talk about in emotional intelligence is that an emotionally unintelligent parent cannot raise an emotionally intelligent child.
Dr. Ian Marshall, what's your interest in this subject, your background? Unmute.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Ellis. Well, my interest stems really, as you would expect, from the educational standpoint, because I firmly believe that a lot of the problems that we are facing in our society, even with men, those problems are really spawned by an educational system that creates a level of disaffection from very early.
Excellent.
Among our men. Mm-hmm. Because our system does not support all individuals. Our system will support what we call the brightest and the best. So if you are not fortunate to fall into that category, it means that you are now outside of the realm of mainstream society. And then as to put it in Bayesian parlance, as a man, you need to show yourself to be a man, which is whatever concept of manhood that you have. And so sometimes you will see them exhibiting behaviors that are consistent with the gang behavior, the gang violence, all those things that really scream that these men are looking for a sense of purpose and a sense of value. Because Absolutely. Even people not these various groups as informal groups and so on, you will realize that in those groups, when men are able to get a sense of value, it is the same exact thing that they were looking for within the mainstream society. But because mainstream society has ignored them, then they find another avenue. And to my mind, unless we address the real issue of alienating our men, I mean for that matter, from very early, our boys and girls, we are alienating them from very, very early, from primary school, we alienate them. So then when they come through the educational system and they recognize they're deemed to be failures, what are they supposed to do? So we should not be alarmed or surprised when we see, okay, this is happening as a result. Because as Olton said, it is really symptomatic of a deeper problem. And I just took the opportunity to look at the stats recently, and it says that we are spending $83 per day incarcerating people. $83 per day. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if you take that same $83 that worked out, $83.08, that worked out at $30,323 a year? Could you imagine what you could do with that money?
That's per person.
If you could take that same money and spend it on a child who has difficulty with reading, with writing, with cognition, any number of issues, can you imagine what impact that would have if we spend that type of money on our children, on one person, and we have several, and that is just what the rate for one person. So for me, it is about a new understanding about the purpose of education and addressing the needs of our children, our boys, long before they become men.
Where the problem starts. Add to that the revelation that we got earlier in the year from the then Home Affairs Minister that it cost taxpayers $32,000 to house a single prisoner at Her Majesty's Prison Dogs per year. So that's in addition to the figures that you have just given. Now, your background, though, your academic background is in what area again?
Area is educational leadership.
Educational leadership.
Basically, I'm involved in training principals, deputy principals, leaders to go into to leadership through the educational spectrum.
But you say the alienation starts early. What are you recommending as the steps that need to be taken to correct that?
Well, as I intimated earlier, the most important thing we need to do is to change our concept of what is the purpose of education. It starts there. Why are we educating our young people? Why are we educating our children? What is the purpose? Are we educating them to be able to have positions of great stature in society, or are we educating them to be able to make a contribution irrespective of their academic or physical capacities? So it starts with what is the purpose? And I think not too many times, I think that our system is really focused primarily on highlighting those who are doing very, very well and dismissing those who are not. And that entire thinking can only change if, first of all, we recognize that it is not paying dividends, and then we seek to dismantle it. The problem with dismantling it, though, is that there are many gatekeepers who benefit from this system, and they do not want to see it dismantled. So therefore, we have to get not only the political will, but also get people who are of the same mind that will say, you know what, even if it means that my status is reduced, for the greater good of our society, let us do what I call second-order change and start with this first-order change. So second-order change says, you know what, dismantle the system. If it's not working, dismantle it and build it from scratch, as opposed to making these topical and cosmetic changes, which only result then in everyone say a temporary reprieve, and then you go back to the same old. So it starts with understanding the purpose of education.
Our subject today is Men in BIM, Where Are We Going? It's coming to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated. When we return, some other voices to this subject.
You depend on BRC for genuine permaclad, color clad, and permaseam steel roofing products. But did you know you can depend on BRC for installation too? That's right. BRC has several experienced roofing teams to handle your roof installation professionally, using tested and proven fasteners and methods with satisfaction guaranteed. When it comes to roofing, there's no substitute for experience, and BRC's crews will give you a great job at a great price. Have your roof installed by the experts. BRC.
Kenneth Straker, good morning. Welcome to Brass Tacks Sunday. Your perspective on this issue.
Good morning.
Yes.
I've seen too many men in Barbados, especially the young men at a very young age, involved in too much crime and being led away to prison, and their life is all over. I believe that it stems from in the homes and lack of some fathers being present. We as men need to be more focused, and we need to contribute more to society, whereas being able to identify problems with our children, being able to focus on guiding, because
you have lately children. You have children of your own?
Yes, please. Okay. I have one child.
What do you see as your challenges in trying to get that child, whether it's male or female? Which one is it?
A female. She's 28 years of age.
Okay.
And
she has children, yeah, too?
And I she have one child, one little boy. Mm-hmm. And as small as he is, I start to groom him. I sit him down and I talk to him because I know that he understands. So my thing is, being a father and being around your children and growing with, even if you are in a relationship and the relationship goes bad and you have to separate from the mother, it has absolutely nothing to do with you still continuing to be a father.
So what personal experience did you have that would have brought you to this kind of discussion?
Well, I ain't really had no problems, but what has happened is that I had seen a lot of men, and I have a lot of friends that is males that, you know, would come and confide certain things within me, and I would speak to them, and I could understand, because I grew up in an environment where my mom and my father broke up when I was young, and my mother had four sons, but our father always played his role in our lives as we grew up. He never abandoned us. He would always sit down. He would always talk to us. Because he said to us, he never knew who his father was. And he has promised himself anytime that he had children, he would make sure that he would always play that role as a father. I admire my father for that. He never once leave us out. Don't care where we were, my father always find us. He always spend time with us. He always sit down and talk to us. Even though that we are big men, all of us with children and grandchildren, he's always there. And that is what I admire. And this is something that is lacking of us as men. That part of being a father, of being a parent, of being there for your children no matter what.
Gerald Walker.
And what I really...
Sorry, you were saying?
Yes, and what I see, what I see sometimes too is that the court systems fail us as men. And this is something that needs addressing and very, very serious. It's taking us to the relationships, and is carrying the judicial system, is carrying us way down for some things that isn't even true. Where being a father is concerned, or being supporting your children is concerned.
And that's what you're hearing from other people.
Yes. Well, it needs to change, because I've been court on several occasions.
Okay.
And I saw a couple of cases that was heard by the magistrate, and some of the gentlemen that were placed in court for child support by their mothers were complaining that they were getting no access to their children, and it fall on deaf ears of the magistrate. The magistrate isn't interested in hearing that. All he was interested in hearing is how much money he's going to put towards the maintenance of each other, and that is so wrong.
All right, let me get a view here now from Gerald Walcott. You're coming to us now from a personal experience situation, Gerald. You need to unmute. You're muted. All right. So we're gonna have to work on trying to sort that out. But with us also is Corey Lynn. Corey has been doing a lot of work with young people, and in that you certainly have a lot of young males. From where you sit, if you've done this for so many years, I mean, how have you seen this situation change? You've got Fabian Sargent of Men's saying there's this crying need for emotional support.